This is MSONewsSports.com. We're joined by Representative Paul Tucker from Salem. And Representative, great to talk with you, and welcome to the website.
Thanks, Bill. My pleasure. This is my second time on, first as police chief, now as state rep. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, there's so many things to talk about and so many things you're involved with as a state rep, but how about the transition from a police chief to a state rep? Tell me about that.
Well, it's been great. Well, I had what I consider to be a great career as a police officer. I was on the job for 34 years. I was the chief for the last five. And the transition to being a state rep has been great because many of the same skills that I used as a police officer, talking, communicating, problem solving, I found that many of those have been transferable to my new job. I've had a very good first year. I've enjoyed it very much.
You know, I think that when you know, in the jobs that I've been in, say, with an education, you see police officers working firsthand, for up close and personal at different times, and you see those skills are coming out. You don't necessarily think of those skills. I don't think the layman think of those skills as with police officers as such. They think more of the, you know, they're driving in their car, they see a cruiser behind them, they want to make sure they stop at the stop sign and obey the speed. But those negotiating skills, you're right, they're huge.
Very much. And much of my career I actually spent as a detective. So I talk to people at their best, at their worst. All of the things that I learned on the job have really prepared me, I believe, to have a successful first year. And it's been great. I'm very much enjoying it.
There's a line I could take with all the people you had to deal with in Salem, and now you're down in Boston at the State House, but no, I won't go there.
I have heard that line before.
Okay. You're just leading me along, sure. Representative Tucker. Hey, we both shared one thing in the last couple of weeks was the Al Needham funeral, the longtime WESX newsman, and you spoke. It was terrific, and it was a great morning there in Manchester by the Sea, but maybe just share a memory with us on that.
Sure. I'll tell you, when I was first on the police department, I worked on the desk for the first year or so, and the early morning call would always come in from Al, and he was looking for news. And all the older officers had told me, if Al Needham calls, give him whatever you can. And we used to get some good-natured ribbing from some of the print media that say, how come Al Needham gets all this stuff and we don't? Al was just a great guy. He had a nice way with people. And the police officers, and I can speak for everybody in the North Shore that was around at that time, we had a special kinship with Al to the point where he would call, and he was just such a nice guy. He was trustworthy. And I think he always put the police officers, when it was deserved, put them in a good light. But sometimes if we got it wrong, he would call it the way he saw it, and we had great respect for him.
Right, and I know I worked with him, and just one more follow up on him. It's just great to say it. He was a better person than even a broadcaster. You know, he was just a really nice, terrific guy, very dependable kind of guy, just somebody you could count on for anything.
Yeah, very much, very much. And in fact, in his later years, myself and Don Famico, who's the animal control officer in Salem, we had a good friendship with Al. We would go up to Brooksby to visit him, talk about his family. Al always had a little bit of a source of pride. His son, Alan III, and my son, Dan, were born the exact same day, exact same age. I think they're about 10 minutes apart. And that was always a good point that Al and I would talk about to see how the boys were doing as they got older.
All right. Well, let's go to your transition to the work you're doing at the State House. Now, on Wednesday, I understand, is it the Health Committee that's meeting, regarding the opioids issue in the governor's law? Tell us about that.
Sure. The bill that Governor Baker filed has gone through the Health Committee, and it's actually in Ways and Means as we speak. This afternoon, we're expecting the final draft to be released, and then tomorrow morning, we expect to take this up. There's a Democratic caucus about mid-morning tomorrow, and then it should be before the entire House tomorrow afternoon for debate and for amendments. I think the governor has done a very good job in putting this together. He put a coalition of people that are in health services, law enforcement, government. All of those folks together have had a piece in crafting this bill, and then now it's just working out some of the finer details tomorrow, and hopefully we can get it pushed forward.
What would you say, what are the key elements in the bill, and what could change? Obviously, you're hearing things, and maybe you have some amendments or whatever.
Yes, two of the big things right now that I think are going to generate the most discussion. One is the amount of supply of medication that doctors can prescribe. In the governor's bill, he wanted no more than a three-day supply to a patient. That's being worked on now. My understanding, and I read in the State House News yesterday, is that the medical profession would be looking more toward a seven-day prescription supply. The second piece of it, and probably it's going to generate a lot of discussion tomorrow, is a police officer's ability to hold a person that is under the influence of drugs and then bring them to a medical facility where they could again be held for up to 72 hours. There's going to be vigorous debate on that tomorrow, very strong voices on both sides. We're trying to work towards some type of a compromise. I've seen some language that came out of the Health Committee on within 24 hours that person would have some drug counseling. So more to come on that tomorrow. I expect a good debate, and before the members formulate their votes, there'll be a lot to consider.
As a former police chief, police officer, detective, what do you think about that piece and how that is actually, you know, kind of implemented?
Right off the top, I saw firsthand where somebody, for instance, would be revived with Narcan that was in the throes of an overdose, and that person would snap out of it. The police officers at that point had very little that they could do. And in fact, the line officers will tell you that oftentimes they're going back to that same address, sometimes two, three, four times in a 24-hour period. So the police are looking for some type of mechanism to get that person into treatment. Now, on the other side of it, what the public health folks are saying is the infrastructure does not exist right now to be able to treat so many people. So there's got to be some type of common ground. I come down on the side of public safety and health. I'm hoping that there's some mechanism that we don't just leave these people out there and hope, because that's not a plan. Hoping that they don't use again is not a plan. I'd like to see something in place that we can get them to a facility where they can get the help that they need, even if it's short term, which may lead to better things down the road.
All right, Representative Tucker, you're on also on a couple of other committees. Any particular one, if we jump to a different committee and issues you're dealing with?
Sure. One of the ones that I am on and I asked for it is the Education Committee. A couple of big issues coming up, the cap on charter schools, and quite a bit of discussion around some of the standardized testing, the MCAS. The Department of Education just came out with what they call MCAS 2.0. We're looking at that. In addition, some districts are using the PARC. We've had quite a bit of discussion and testimony. No action has been taken on those yet. There's also a ballot initiative on the charter school cap. Right now, it looks like if a bill starts, it would start in the Senate. And at least according to what I've read, President Rosenberg in the Senate says that there is not enough support to lift that charter school cap and increase the numbers of charter schools. And if it can't get going in the Senate, it'll never get sent to the House because it wouldn't go anywhere.
How do you feel? What's your position on that, on the charter cap?
I'm not opposed to more charter schools, but having said that, and equally if not more important, I am not in favor now of lifting the cap until we make sure that the traditional public schools are fully funded and they have the resources that they need. I don't want to see resources taken away to increase charter schools. If there's some type of funding mechanism that can be put in place with some help from the state that does not impact local districts, then I wouldn't be opposed to it. But that's going to be a big lift to get to where I want it to be.
Now, I happened just to have a phone conversation with someone I'm friends with, and nothing to do with you, we're talking about you, but regarding the commissioner's 2.0 MCAS piece, is that that's running into some concerns. Like, is that with the federal government because of the combining of tests or the flexibility that districts might have with the test and the inability to kind of standardize that? Is that the issue, standardize that 2.0 test?
Right now, there's quite a few issues. We're concerned mainly on the state side. I know the federal government is going to have some issues with it. It all surrounds the whole Common Core objective. I'm looking at the state side first, issues around, is it the right test? Right now, there is a bill for a three-year moratorium on all testing. And many of the reps from the Boston area, they want to do away with all testing for 3 years, start from scratch. I'm not sure that's the right approach. I don't think we throw the whole thing out with no testing. What I would be in favor of, and I've talked to people about it, is we have some very smart people in Massachusetts. Can we get those people around the table, people from the Department of Education, people from the unions, the Mass Teachers and MTA, can we get those people around and try to craft our own test that will meet the federal regulations and standards and also satisfy teachers' concerns, students, and parents. I think it can be done, but in the meantime, we need something. We need a decision coming up soon on which direction we're going to go in.
Right. And Representative Tucker, any other, you're on the Judiciary and Committee as well. Is anything news out of that committee?
We've got a number of bills. Judiciary, traditionally, and I can see it this year, is by far the busiest committee. This year at the State House, 6,800 bills were filed, 6,800. Many of those will end up, the vast majority, in the Judiciary. That's why I asked for it. I'm pleased that I'm a member of it. We've taken on issues this year, everything from mandatory minimum sentences to banning ivory sales in Massachusetts. Tomorrow we're taking up some marijuana regulations. It's a very comprehensive committee, and I'm very pleased to be a part of it.
I got one other question I do want to ask you about, but anything else you want to talk about from the legislature's point?
I would just say that it's been a very good year. I've enjoyed it very much. And among some of the common questions that I get, a lot of people see what happens in Washington. We hear the words gridlock, nothing getting done. I can tell you firsthand that is not the case in Massachusetts. The word I would use is collegiality. And not to paint such a rosy picture that 160 members are all holding hands and getting along and agreeing everything, but there's robust debate. We have good votes. We work hard at this. And at the end of the day, I think collegiality reigns. I filed a bill this year with one of my colleagues who's a Republican from down in Barnstable District. He's in down the Cape. We filed a bill on fentanyl that we were able to push across, that the Attorney General championed and the Chairman of Judiciary, a very good bill. So there is, as they say, reaching across the aisle. I see every day Democrats and Republicans under the State House dome working together, and I think that only can help the people of Massachusetts.
Unheard of. Hey, let me ask you, before we started, we talked off the air about gun control, and I just want to ask you about this piece. You know the national debate. You know better than anybody. You know, as a police chief in Salem, you know firsthand gun permits, gun violations, you know, the amount of illegal guns, you know, on the streets, all of that piece. And, you know, Rick and I were talking the other day, and we were thinking that if this were not politicians, but if other people were trying to resolve this, that there must be some common ground to take on these issues that would satisfy everybody. What's your thought, thinking on that piece?
Couldn't agree more. I come back to common sense and common ground. Over 90% of the people in this country agree that background checks should be done on people before buying a gun. What we're seeing is people with some degrees of mental illness, some instability in their lives, that are going to these gun shows in the southern states. They're buying guns and walking out with semi-automatic weapons and high-capacity weapons. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that if people are qualified, then they have a right to carry a firearm, whether it's for their personal protection, for target and sport, or hunting. But having said that, I'm also a strong believer in background checks and common sense. If we put in the hands of people the right to carry a gun, let's make sure that they're qualified. And if they are, then the Second Amendment should rule the day.
Mm-hmm. And in light of what's happened with some of these major incidents, the national newsworthy incidents that have happened, whether it be in California, most recent one, in Philadelphia, and so on, just give me your take on those things.
When we look at those, you can see the predictable reactions. We need more laws. We need more gun control. There are thousands of laws on the books. Let's enforce them. Let's make sure that the police have the resources, that at the federal level, the ATF has the resources. Let's put the computer infrastructure in place for instant background checks. We can do these things. And to me, it boils down to common sense. We're not going to stop, unfortunately, every incidence of violence with a gun. We're not going to stop it. But we can't just sit back and hope that things get better. That's not a plan either. I think the instant background checks, I think the common sense approach to this, and making sure that we keep the guns out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them.
All right, Representative Tucker, great talking with you, and thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks very much, Bill.
Yeah. Representative Paul Tucker from Salem with us, state rep here on MSO, newsports.com.